If this comes out and this launches, this becomes a real boy, the Steam top sellers list is going to get unhinged, kids.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Linux Gamecast Weekly. The show covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. And then, that's Jordan. Pedro's dead. As it happens every now and then. I know. We've been holding the pre-show eulogy. Talking about Marvel movies, yeah.
I attempted to play Amazing Grace. I was booed off stage.
I want to play bagpipes. I don't think I've ever really tried to play. Bagpipes is not one of those things you have regular access to. But okay.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because like you're not playing it by blowing it. You're inflating the bag by blowing into it, and you're squeezing it to like actually make the sound.
You see, here's the problem though. Once you get the bagpipes, then you're going to be tempted to get a unicycle, and it's downhill from there.
No, then you just start playing AC/DC songs nonstop.
You're in the shower.
Yeah. Jordan, you have a problem. You need to take away these... You need to stop playing these bagpipes. You can take them out of my cold, dead
hands. Oh, man. Speaking of cold, dead heads, together with you, Shot Realm Dynamic, watching us live on YouTube, Twitch, and I don't have no idea, but we are on Facebook, technically helping us form. Cocaine.
Jill says we're live on Facebook. She has no reason to lie, right?
It works, right? Man. It works. Jordan, I bought some junk food this week.
What did you buy?
Like, I bought an Amy's pizza, Jordan.
Okay.
You know what an Amy's pizza is?
Some kind of vegan pizza?
It's some like, bullshit moon hippie junk food, right? It's a pizza. Frozen pizza.
I've heard you mention these before. They're like your special pizza time.
Hippie snacks. And I bought one, and like, it's been forever since I even had any bread, man. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to get one. Why not? The cooking instructions are lies, man. Preheat the oven. Like, okay, we're good. Like, how long? 30 minutes.
They're frozen, right?
Frozen? Just regular frozen pizzas, but, you know, with moonbeams and crap on them. And like, okay, preheat, wait, put it in, boom. Set a timer. I should have listened to it. My gut feeling, that smell in the house when you're cooking a pizza, you're like,
that's done.
It smells about right. And I'm like, what's the timer say? Timer says I got another 9 minutes on this thing.
Oh.
I'll give it 9 minutes. Like 3 minutes after that, I'm like, you know what? I need to go check on it. It was almost a block of carbon, man. Mm. Yeah. Throw it away. Hell no. Those things are expensive.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't.
Try and salvage it.
It wasn't that bad. Here's how it was bad enough to where when I was trying to cut it with a pizza cutter, I'm like, did I leave the cardboard on the bottom? We got through it. It was a very crunchy, crunchy pizza. But another thing that was very exciting that showed up this week, if you follow me in our Discord, which you don't have to follow me in our Discord, we're just there. You got to deal with it. Or on the social media, I got the first FireWire audio interface ever made in the world.
Antique.
Dude, kind of. When do you think that was made?
I don't know when I don't know offhand when FireWire came out. So I'm going to say 93?
Oh, 93, huh? How do I get my profile thing on Zitter? I'm trying to get to it.
I think you click on your face.
Possibly. There it is. That's it. That's the Motu 828.
Master of the Universe 828.
Yeah, Mark of the Unicorn, baby. 2001.
2000? Okay. A lot later than I thought. Because I'm like, was FireWire an 80s thing? I know it was a 90s thing, but I don't know.
It was. Like, the standard was ratified in 1995, I believe.
Okay.
And, you know, then it was either by Apple, then it was picked up, then typically you saw FireWire for digital video cameras and hard drives. Why? Because USB 2 was and still is an absolute dumpster fire for communications. Mm. And it basically is better than USB 2 even today in every conceivable way, shape, form, and fashion, period, across the board.
Does it have the superpositioned connector where you have to rotate it 3 times before it finally goes in?
No, but it's got a flat spot on the connector.
So it goes in the first time.
It's got a flat spot on the connector so you can, A, very clearly see where you plug it in. B, can get the old reach around where you can't see and be like, oh, right, this side, got it. Yes. Plug it in. However, later on, I did notice on the back of this, there was not the sticker, like, do not plug in upside down, which would lead you to believe, like, how? I'm like, Jordan, you're right. You can do it once.
Yeah.
And usually with the dice chipset, this is a common problem, believe it or not, for like FireWire devices. It'll immediately smoke the FireWire controller.
So this isn't, it's not in the chain right now. You just have it set up.
No, no, it's sitting back here in the rack. It's undergoing, you know, just the basic test. Cause I want to do like a little history on FireWire, but I've been looking for one of these at, you know, a good price that's in good shape. And this thing's mint. And spoilers, it does a little dance when you cut it on.
Oh.
I'm a sucker for that. Any type of electronic device with a bunch of LEDs on it. If you give me a little bit of a show, oh, that's cool. Somebody, because I know some thought went into that, right? I'm like, yeah, okay, a little bit of presentation.
Runs through the meter and then back, and you're like, mm-hmm. ah, that's neat.
Like, pretty cool. So good stay tuned for that. Also, if you are a patron, if you're one of the beautiful party people making this possible, there is the how do you do production audio, pro audio under Linux with Debian 12. Currently, that video is up and running. I've made some modifications to it, but one thing I like to do for our patrons is to put that out, give you an early look at it. If you see anything like, hey, maybe consider including this or whatever, that's the time to do it. But that information is available. I'll have that out this Wednesday with a full written guide. If you've ever been curious how we stick the stuff together in the studio, do the processing and the time constraints. You know, Jordan's even got a baby version of this setup at his house.
Yes. There are three less computers involved.
To do the real-time audio processing.
I'd also have to host up to four people. So.
No, but you could.
I could.
I could be like, Jordan, replicate this. You could math it out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The basic idea. Realize how...
Would my ADD ass like switch it as well as you? Hell no. It would be like, we'd be like an entire podcast on like Ven's eye for like 2 hours.
Oh man. Dang it. Do you know what I should have done? I hate this. I should have kept 3-shot because I saved the video of the toothbrush zoom. That should have been in loop the entire and never addressed it. How about you, Jordan Swag? Have you burnt any pizzas or bought any audio interfaces from 2001 this week?
I have done neither of those things, although now I really want a pizza. I might order one depending after that. I don't know.
That used to be a little bit of a tradition when you were in the city.
Like, a little bit.
2 o'clock, yeah. Time for some takeout.
Oh, but it was the Popeyes was right downstairs. It was great. You just get fried chicken right after the show. It was amazing. Mwah. Not doing that shit anymore. Lost 60 pounds because of it. But yeah, I finally bit the bullet, bought that 7800 XT Power Color
Packpucker. Traitor!
I know.
Team Green!
Yeah, and like, I was on the fence about like, do I want the 4070? Do I want the 7800? And after thinking about it, it's like, it is literally $100 more for a worse card if I went with the 4070. So...
And this is before or after that you worked out that coming to America to purchase it and smuggling it back in wouldn't be financially
viable. Yeah, I also did that as well.
Allegedly.
Alleged. Well, I didn't actually do it.
Hey, man, listen, I don't know. I
thought about it.
I don't want you to get picked up on a Canadian thought crime, homie.
I committed the thought crime, and now the fucking thought police are coming. The brain mounties are riding on their giant brain horses. I don't know. Like
they're the guys. Oh, man. Is that Rick and Morty with the testicles? The time testicle guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, the fucking death. Yeah, you fuck with time, motherfucker. Oh yeah, those guys. No, but I'm enjoying the card. It installed right out of the box. I upgraded to kernel 6.6.0, and then the next day, immediately afterwards, like, hey, we released kernel 6.6.1. I'm like, well, I'm not rebuilding my kernel for that.
Nah.
Not for a 1-point release.
But you plugged it in. You had to spend all afternoon. I was watching you in Discord. You were like, you know what? You were doing the pre-disaster recovery, so they're like, all right, let me just go ahead and deal with all possible contingents. What do I need to know?
Well, and it was lucky that, like, oh, Fedora 39 is out today. Okay, well, now for sure I'm gonna I can upgrade and get the latest drivers and all that crap. So yeah, I doing all that stuff instead of like my actual job. But
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But yeah, I plugged it in, worked out of the box. Wayland worked out of the box, switched over to X. It was very, very painless. Yeah, I'm enjoying the card so far. I ran a bunch of benchmarks and I went, GPU go burr. Still can't do Cyberpunk at UHD on ultra, but I can do it on high. I can do it on high and nice. hold 90 FERPs, which is pretty fucking dope. Ray tracing, I can do 60 on Cyberpunk at RT low, and I finally broke 50 frames a second on Quake 2 RTX. Oh my god, I'm so honestly, I bought it for the rasterization performance. Cyberpunk runs great on it. I'm looking forward to getting into Control and Assassin's Creed Valhalla, because those were the DX12 games I had that were not running very well.
I will recommend Control. API.
Yeah.
Having played both, I will recommend Control. And see how long you can play the Valhalla until you just get bored with it. Like, it's not necessarily, it's just too much game.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I saw with it. It's like that Assassin's Creed sort of like, all the side quests, you got to do them all, and we're going to get your numbers so that you got to do them all, or else you can't fucking complete the game.
But I saw when the card showed up, I think it might have been later that night. You were posting in our Discord. If you're a Twitch sub or patron, connect, come hop in our Discord. But you posted, I believe it was Cyberpunk. Then I'm like, hold, wait for it. Wait for it. Then we got the Talos benchmark.
Well, as is tradition, right? I'm like, oh.
I mean, Talos principle. I'm sorry. That was a legitimate slip. Talos benchmark.
Yeah. Well, see, I had to remember to install the Talos principle. That was the other thing. Because, you know, you only install it when you buy new hardware. So you
With our group, especially with, like, since it works with Vulcan, I have probably 100 hours into Talos principle, and I've played the game maybe 70 minutes.
Mm.
You know, but speaking of benchmarks, stay tuned because we got some big news on that front. But first, we need to talk about what has been going on in the world of the steamy stuff with the horses or something.
There's a horse. It's an old horse back from 1998. It's got an update. It looks extra pixely. It's Steam
Linux update of the week. Right.
There's not a third person
here. I don't
know.
How do we do that?
Hey, so Half-Life 4 is confirmed.
Done.
PC Games End has broke the story. There's an update for the 25th anniversary of Half-Life. We are seeing some movement in the SteamDB for Half-Life 1, and there's a lot of speculation as to what it could be. Could it be RTX Half-Life? Could it be long lost DLC being added? Are they adding the two-player co-op from the PlayStation version of Half-Life to the game? No, we don't know, but it seems like most likely it's going to be Steam Deck support. Which, you know, getting the old Gold Source games backported to have like good deck compatibility is a good way to extend your back catalog. And like, honestly, you got to figure, you could probably get like some good battery life off the Steam Deck on Half-Life 1, right? Like,
impossible.
It's not that demanding a game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Around power in 10 minutes.
Well, that's why you need some sort of advanced display, but we'll get to that.
Spoilers, man. Yeah, password protected updates always gets the SteamDB junkies like spinning around, and it's fun to theorize, especially with Half-Life. Coming up, November 19th, 1998. That's when we got to Half-Life, and I just noticed that there's 557 people in-game right now playing Half-Life. Good on every single one of you, and this is the original Half-Life, not Black Mesa. My first thought was, however, oh, okay, we're going to get a remaster from Valve. Then I remembered a Blessed project, which we've all played, Black Mesa, which is, I don't see Valve taking another crack at that. I'm like, maybe they're going to move it to Source 2. No, I don't think that's it. But what Jordan was saying, Steam Deck, that's too obvious and it's too boring, so it's probably the right answer to that, right?
Yeah, the only other times we see updates in these depots is for like security issues where they're like, oh yeah, there's like a massive remote code execution bug that we needed to plug in like the game server. That was the last thing we got for like Day of Defeat, I think. I think that was actually the last for Gold Source.
What if we got Half-Life 1 Episode 2?
Maybe.
How do you even do that? I don't know.
Well, that's Blue Shift in Opposing Force, actually. If you think about it.
Okay.
It's kind of the expansion.
There's a time-honored tradition over the last decade of us saying shit on this show and things happening.
Yeah.
Remember our conversation about playing as a head crab?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that the end of Half-Life 5, though, involves you getting on a tram that takes you to the beginning of Half-Life 1. Because it's like the Dark Tower, right? It's just a fucking time loop. I guess, spoilers for the Dark Tower.
No, I want crabs with goatees.
Oh, crabs with goatees and guns.
Oh, man. Maybe you play some games that you don't want your coworkers, your friends, and your family, significant other, alternate personalities to know about.
I play a lot of Fortnite, yeah.
Fortnite, Call of Duty, you know, I mean, FIFA, Sports Ball Manager, insert current year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just don't want your friends knowing that you're into that. Not an easy thing to deal with on Steam. You got to make sure that you're logged out, the friends list, and you don't want that slip. You don't want to see people knowing that you're playing the Call of Duty Bros. Too Spooky for You edition. Well, Valve is going to make that just a little more easy for you. They might be adding the ability for you to hide those embarrassing games. Mark it as private. Certain games, not going to see it on the timeline. We're not going to see, is there any game that you'd be embarrassed about that you have?
That I own? No. There have been certain games that I've been curious enough to like, or I've been curious like, maybe one day I'll like create a Spurf account to look at it. But at the same time though, it's like, I don't know if I don't want people to see me playing a game, mm-hmm. I can just go offline on Steam let's be real. This is for porn games. Like this is if you have like Tentacle Dungeon Master 12 and you don't want people to know that you sunk
Tentacle Dungeon Master sold out at 10, dude. Like nobody's playing 12.
Listen, after they added a bunch of microtransactions, mm-hmm. there are whales that are still playing Tentacle Master Dungeon. And they are trapped in an abusive relationship.
Ten's still on the classic server, so you don't have to deal with the new stuff, right?
Although, yeah, and they have like banned servers for 9 and stuff. No, but yeah, there are a lot of saucy games on Steam. There's a lot of like hentai games on Steam, and like even then, there's just a lot of games that cover subject matter that you may not necessarily want to have people in your social circle be apprised that you're into. Certainly for like cultural or religious reasons.
Power washing simulator.
Does it work for family sharing though? If I share my family games with people, does little Timmy have to see my fucking hentai games?
Can I get the inverse option of this where I can just put this shit in like bold and make it blink and have glitter around it?
Yeah, everyone gets alerted when you play Hentai Simulator.
Let me go for that because I've absolutely just accumulated a friends list on Steam over the years of people full of zero fucks given, man. I'm like, oh, they're playing that. That's game. Huh. And, but like I said, man, like if you want to hide the stuff that you're doing, and that's a concern. I was reading, I forget if it was on Reddit, Hacker News, or wherever I originally got this. And somebody had mentioned that the reason they needed it is because like I'm friends with my employees.
Yeah. My boss is on my friends list, right? Like, yeah, there's probably some stuff that like, I would not like to have that workplace conversation with them about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like it's a good privacy measure. Cause like the shotgun approach of all or nothing isn't great. And just having a little tick box that says like, hey, don't share my details about this.
But everybody, I want you to think about this. The Steam, if this comes out and this launches, this becomes a real boy. The Steam top sellers list is going to get unhinged, kids.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Cause who are playing these games? Everyone is playing these games.
Or maybe the gloves are back on, but
yeah.
Cause seriously, like how many games are going to like just straight up horny games are going to be, I minimum one, I think one's 100% chance, but I'm saying two, possibly three. We'll see.
I think it's going to be like a recurring like joke news segment of like, hey, look what got to the top of the Steam sellers this week. I wonder what kind of weird shit people are into this month.
Right. And more power to you, man. Enjoy it. I had to. There's a couple of filters. They're better than what they used to be because initially in the show notes earlier this week, I had put down like I would just like itty horny game. It like doesn't matter if it contains horny. Just to get a block filter and like just have a single checkbox because on Steam, it wasn't that straightforward of like, it wouldn't get enough of them. You still had to filter it out. And like, I'm looking for stuff like to play on stream and things like that. Like, I don't judge, whatever you do. However, you can go, but there's like three levels of horny filter. There's three horny checkboxes you gotta get on. And it gets about 98% of them. There's still some visual novel that you look at and you're like, oh, we both know what's going on there, man. I'm not, you know. Oh, there you go. I don't have anything that I'd even think about hiding. I never gave it a thought.
But like, I can certainly understand why you would. Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, it's not going to hurt anybody to have the option.
Indeed.
But they're just going to look over your shoulder while you're on the bus and watch you play it anyway.
On your Steam Deck, yeah.
Yeah.
What is causing me pain, though, is Valve released a new piece of hardware that is better than my current piece of hardware, and now I'm less sad.
Oh, don't be sad. Be happy. See, there we go. Introducing, ladies and gentlemen, this is kind of the big news of the week. New Steam Deck OLED version. That's right, high dynamic range screen, longer lasting battery, faster downloads, and so much more, Jordan.
Yeah, there's a little bit. It's a bit lighter. They got that Wi-Fi chip that we were talking about. They tried to sneak that patent through, but we caught it. That's what this is for.
This is what everybody's going to want to know. We got to choose our decks. Choose our decks. Okay, here's how it works. The original. It's still there. You got one LCD option. It's still around, but it's got a storage bump, 256 gigajoules, $399, which is a price drop when you factor in the storage. The new OLED starts at $512 at $549. Wet, stinky caches. And it's coming soon. And by soon, they mean November 16th, 10 a.m. Yeah, so specific. Right. And there's also a 1 terabyte OLED version for only $649, which is not that bad.
No, but wait. It's not Lenovo pricing for that storage.
There's more, Jordan. There's the YOLO deck, the limited edition for $679.
It looks pretty dope, though. I'm a big fan of like the transparent plastic thing that like the old N64 controllers and the old Game Boys had. So this has that.
Allegedly, there's a picture of it somewhere.
It's behind the image.
Right. Allegedly. It's got some orange, red orange highlights, a semi-transparent case. So what do we really get if we're going to do deck facts real quick? So the 64 and 512, what I said, LED models, they're gone. Battery's a little bit bigger, got 10 extra watt hours, Wi-Fi 6E, node shrink on the APU. It's not faster, air quotes, but it went from 7 nanometers down to 6, which is good. The screen,
the GPU has an improvement as well, but I think it's also like a die shrink thing.
The screen, outside of being OLED, is also 90 hertz now. So you're not going to get like variable rate on it, but having that 90 option is pretty dope. High performance touch for the screen, for whatever the hell that means. You don't have to use two sausages to make the touch screen work anymore. And it's also a little bit lighter, though. 640 grams versus 669. And just because Valve's feeling generous, and probably because nobody bought the damn things, the deck docks are $20 off.
Yeah, like honestly, there are a lot of third-party deck docks on Amazon that are like cheap.
Deck docks.
Yeah, deck docks. You know, follow me on deck dock. So it seems like they're keeping to their word about maintaining that consistent performance profile. They could have made the GPU, CPU a little bit faster. I think that the GPU has like a higher dynamic clock, so it can burst a little higher. But yeah, having that consistent hardware target means that the developers have a thing to target. It's not like every
it's going to be a little bit faster, but Valve's not going to be like it's the same thing. It's got a better cooling system. It's on a smaller node, less heat, better turbo boost.
It's going to be like marginally faster in like one or two uses.
It'll crush a 4090.
Absolutely. The hardware compatibility, though, a lot of us were looking at like, oh, can we stuff the OLED screen in the old decks? Apparently not.
Give me some
Apparently the guts are a little different, which is unfortunate. But we have seen that some folks are making aftermarket components for the Steam Deck. So maybe we'll see some aftermarket stuff that could bridge the gap between the deck.
I have seen that. And if you look at like any of the screen replacement stuff, dude, it's like, oh, follow these simple 83 steps.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you got to like extract the entire thing and like disconnect the motherboard. It's a pain in the ass, but you can do it. Honestly, I think it's a good thing. Battery life and heat has been the big complaint. So having something that addresses that is gonna be good. And like between the die shrink, the better screen, the better Wi-Fi chip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, could probably see a lot better, better battery games.
Several outlets got their hands on them and like are legitimately seeing like 45% increase in battery life,
which is pretty good. Yeah. Like considering that was like 2 hours, like going up to like 3.5. That's way better.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you're looking at here is what I'd love, something I'm going to call Steam Deck 1.0. Thank you for beta testing. Because this reads like a checklist of like everyone had some problems with this. And they've updated some of the board layouts for like the shoulder buttons, simplified things, cleaned things up, put some polish on it. And yeah, this is Steam Deck 1.0. And it looks like a really well-made, solid piece of kit. Like if you're looking for a Steam Deck, now if you still got the vintage, if you get the old LCD one, that's fine. Nobody's going to make fun of you.
I feel like less of a man. I feel like a little deflated.
I mean, you're going to look at it and go, you're vintage now, little buddy. Don't worry about it.
You're completely unusable. Garbage. Just fucking huck it into the trash.
What do you... Oh, man. I wonder what this is going to do for eBay used decks, because... You know, we got the Steam Deck refurb program, right? And we should point out that, you can buy the LCDs, the previous, there's some price cuts right now while supplies last, but there's also the refurb program, which decimated the prices for anybody who was trying to scalp them or just try to sell their old decks. Like, they're basically like, you got to sell it less than you can get a certified refurb with a warranty.
Which hopefully means that like more decks will be on the market. Like people are going to want to upgrade to the new version and like it'll make it more accessible. That means more Linux computers out there.
How much?
$200 for a vintage deck. Vintage, 300 Canadian maybe.
Okay, we're gonna do this live, kids.
Are you asking how much it is or how much I would
How pay? Much it's sold for?
How much it's sold
for. Latest one. Most reasonably priced one. So, condition.
300-ish, yeah.
Buying formats, free returns, more filters. Wait, no, there it is. Sold items. Damn it. Cancel. Let's see.
339.
512, 339.
350.
350.
That's for the 512. Okay, yeah.
309.
Do they got a 256, 317? Okay, yeah.
349. Okay, so
I'm not that far off.
No,
like still higher than I would have thought. Considering again, refurb, you can get one that was like
Q8, again, yeah, and all of these are vintage decks now, so they're gonna have to.
It's a collector's item.
Shave off another $100 on these, man. We're looking at like instead of 390, you're gonna be looking at 290.
A 1 terabyte Steam Deck with a 400 gig SSD. That what? What?
I know computer stuff. Shut up.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, that was an adventure.
Now, both of us avoided this. We got a couple of game updates, and this is less of an update and more of a, hey, this is kind of what happened behind...
Do you think the Steam Deck can run City Skylines too?
City Skylines, probably.
City Skylines?
City Skylines, man. Somebody has broke down. This is blog.pavo.me. All this is going to be in our show notes after the fact, but if you're wondering why your Skyline experience was so slow, this guy breaks it down exhaustively, and I'm just very happy to see this. At the end of the day, you can blame it on DOTS, the Unity DOTS. And
not Yakko Wakko?
No, not at all. Be quiet, Pinky. Unity's integration between DOTS, like DOTS was like a big thing earlier, like I think last year, and they just never like closed on it with the DOTS and high definition render pipeline, the HDPR. It's kind of still in work in progress. So that's probably why they had to do their own culling implementation for City Skylines, which is not always something you want to roll your own. Then we got other things they bring up. Like there's issues with like a pile of logs having over 100,000 vertices. That's not something that should have made it the production build. That's somebody being giving a budget on the art department, like, here's some logs. And like, okay, we'll clean that up before we ship it. Didn't happen.
There's also teeth. They're rendering teeth at maximum quality every time that there's toofies on screen. Yeah, and a lot of it is just like, the automatic like object population system seems to like not really care about what actually needs to be there at a given skill level and just kind of does everything, which seems to be causing a lot of the slowdown.
Moral of this story is they knew this was going to be a shit show when they were shipping it. They 100% did, because like Unity's got a profiler in it, just built-in profiler for your render docs and insights. Like, this is going to tell you what's happening, where the hangups are, where all the time's being chewed up. They knew.
Yeah. When this apparently there was some work getting this to hook in past the launcher, though. That was the first part of this blog post.
It got shipped. We don't know why, if they had deadlines they had to meet, or however that went down. They got it out the door. Now, nothing in here is unfixable at all, not even remotely. Everything in here is like, we can fix this with dev hours. Not a problem. But you got to think, like, Paradox is sitting there going, the crackheads that play this game, as long as they can launch it and get in, they're going to play it. Now, for the rest of you, people like me and Jordan, we're never going to play it. Well, we're bad examples, so don't use us. But for the other type of people who are like, that looks kind of it, give this game about 6 to 8 months. Then maybe think about it.
Or maybe the modders will fix it. Maybe they'll figure some shit out.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe. We've seen mods fix performance issues before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, someone's already done the legwork.
Is there going to be a dentist mod?
What?
A dentist mod?
Absolutely. It just turns everything into teeth.
Just gum job. Yeah.
The buildings are just made out of teeth. The roads, teeth.
There's going to be teeth all over the roads.
Just all teeth.
Beautiful. Orbital Scrappage. Scrappage?
Yeah.
Scrappage.
It has an update. Took me a second because we did throw chairs at this back in the day. This was back on LGC episode 552, not too long ago. This was a roguelike where you collect various bits and bobs, attach them to your limbs, and go through various obstacles and in a bullet hell type game. They have a new update that basically brings in some new enemies, new weapons, and a secret level. There's also some game direction markers as well, so you can find out where you're going, because every level is kind of like a maze where you need to like find the exit. So, you know, providing some insight into where the hell you actually need to go. Very useful, because I remember getting lost in that a couple times. It still looks like a janky Unity asset flip that we all know and love, but at least work's being put into it. There's the Bullet Hell Fest coming up, and I think that is what spurred a lot of the work being done on this game.
I know. I share the same thoughts on that. Yeah, this is one of the nice things about all of the insert the random whatever fest we're having this week or next week or the week after that. This is not the first time we've seen it, but it does encourage developers to go back and revisit games that might otherwise never received an update. Why? Because sales. Update some things, get a nice little bump. It's coming out with a bullet fest or whatever fest.
Bullet heaven.
Yeah. Silly as that is, man. This is... I mean, far as the game itself, I remember playing it. This is that game, everybody's first game, top-down, aim with your mouse, run around and shoot stuff. I didn't find it doing anything for me personally, but I'm glad we got an update for it. Like, if it's your jam.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's good to see. Again, like, you'd think it's just an asset flip, but, like, people, they're still working on it. So, it's good to see.
I mean, you know, asset flips work.
I think they have a bit of a bad reputation, but like you can make a good game that's an asset flip. But like
using nothing but like stock assets that you bought off the store, I don't think qualifies something as an asset flip.
No.
Well, no. Like just taking like a pre-programmed like little engine or something like that, like where it's everything's already defined like a town or a scene, then with the assets and just selling that directly, I would call an asset flip.
Okay,
you get what I'm saying.
I see what you mean. I don't know.
If you replace all of your, you design a game and you replace all your programmer art with purchased art, I wouldn't call that an asset flip.
No, that's certainly not an asset flip. But I would typically in my mind at least I define it as like you used a lot of canned assets. There isn't a lot of original ones. But again that doesn't necessarily like indicate like the level of quality of the gameplay itself. It just means that like. You used a lot of assets and you just used a lot of canned assets and then you shipped it without replacing them.
What does asset flip mean to you? Let us know in the comments. Like for me, for a long time, there was that problem. There was that like that 3D Minecraft block shooter that people were just buying whole hog off the Unity store and posting it to Steam.
Oh, yeah.
Like to me, that is my category. Let us know what you think in the comments. Now, Jordan, do you like collecting old GPUs?
I don't like collecting them. I happen to have a collection, but that is just because
how many do you have
right now?
Yeah,
I guess one. I guess by definition, one of them, maybe several of them, because a couple of APUs in.
How many discrete GPUs could you lay your hands on if I gave you 5 minutes?
Zero, because I'd have to power down computers and pull them out.
Oh, you don't have any.
Well, if I didn't care about the computer, four. If I just ripped them out of the MOBOs, yeah.
I say this because I have nothing but discrete GPUs in filling an entire drawer.
Mm.
And here in the studio. And I mean, I've thought about like stacking them on the walls, man.
Doing a little coffee table display or whatever.
Or something like that, man, because I think I got like two ATI. I don't even have any AMDs. There's just ATI cards and like seven or eight NVIDIA cards. Like we're going all the way back to AGP stuff.
Mm. I don't think I have any AGP cards still around.
I got AGP. I got, I think PCI? I have a PCI. I think. I'm not 100% on that. But then everything has PCI Express going, basically. Yeah. Everything NVIDIA is made up to the 3070, 3060. I wish it was a 7. No, I don't, because I wouldn't have enough memory RAM. Anyway, we're on this topic because everybody's favorite Linux-loving miscreants, AMD, are noping support for your antique Vega. Aww.
Vega and Polaris. Anything that's using the latter GCN architecture is getting the boot from AMD VLK, which is not the open source drivers. This is their, or not the open source drivers you might think of. This is AMD's proprietary open source driver that only is supported on Debian and Red Hat Linux, or Ubuntu and Red Hat Linux, I should say. So they're saying that Polaris and Vega are.
I love this handy infographic. So if you want to rip off your cooler and have an electron microscope, you can easily distinguish. Oh, yeah.
You know, you just have one handy. It's but yeah. I have it by the microwave.
Yeah.
They consider these drivers complete, and they are not going to be doing anything except pushing out security updates. Now, you might be thinking, Vega GPUs, that sounds familiar. That's because if you bought an APU in the past couple of years, you have a Vega GPU that you're probably relying on. So don't think that you're going to be getting any more support from AMD proper. Fortunately, if you're like the rest of us, you're using the Mesa stack using AMD GPU, which is just leaps and bounds better. And, you know, is actively developed on by Valve. They get fixes very quickly and so on and so forth. Just in case you are on those old prop drivers and you got RX 580 or a 4, Pedro was nice enough to include a list in the show notes, the 470, the 480, the 570, the 580, and the 590, because they are all just the same GPUs binned, plus any of the other Vega GPUs. Yeah, switch over to the open source drivers.
I think more importantly, more recently, a lot of people might be hit by, you got a 5600G?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on the list, kids.
That gets next. But again, Most of you are already using Mesa anyways, but there's some people who are like, no, AMD drivers, they make them, so they must be better. Also, I guess if you need like OpenCL and
George, stuff. Shut up, man. I am a Linux user, tried and true, sent for my Windows 11 desktop. But so this is going to affect me gravely.
Man, when I was posting those screenshots, I'm like, man, I wish Proton lied about the OS version string, but like, I don't like my benchmark screenshots saying that I'm running Windows 10 Pro, because that's a lie.
Yeah.
Is a lie that Wine tells.
The Vega... All the 5000, 4000, 3000, all the G series APUs and a bunch of mobile stuff that, you know, womp womp. But as Jordan's saying, man, it's not going to affect you on Linux unless you're like, I'd like to run DaVinci Resolve, or I need to use, you know, X proprietary piece of software that requires, then it will. But, you know, AMD does not have a track history of long-lived driver support.
No.
Compared to NVIDIA, NVIDIA's just getting around to like thinking about threatening to get rid of support for 700 series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a decade-old card, man.
Yeah.
So I could understand if you're a little miffed, especially if you're on Windows. Like, I just bought a brand new 5600G.
Yeah. It's not like there's like a fucking Radeon 7 or the 7 series APUs that you can just go and buy. Yeah, if you just want a basic computer, you're kind of stuck like, with 5,000.
AMD's making this stuff still, man. I'm like, damn, come on.
Then, but, like, yeah, they're still making it. I guess now that they finally stopped, they're just like, who needs support?
Whatever. I mean, you hate AMD, Jordan.
I do. I hate you, them Nvidia, so much shill. Because they didn't hire me when I told them that I used Nvidia graphics.
Womp, womp. But since you do have that brand new super fancy video card, you might need to overclock the snot out of it.
I might. I don't plan on doing it anytime soon, but if I wanted to, I could use Tux Clocker, which now, as of 1.3.0 RC1, has the ability to reclock AMD CPUs and GPUs. I tried this one out, and by the way, if you're going to use their pre-built one, the run.sh, make sure you run a sudo command before you run the script, because it will prompt you for your password and then output a bunch of other shit before you have a chance to actually type it in, which is really annoying. But it has a screenshot. The app is very, very simple. It looks pretty much like this. You can double click on any of the values and you get like a little slider or a form field depending on what you're doing. I will say my one gripe is, because I got 12 of these fucking CPUs, if I want to like adjust the frequencies on every core, I got to do each one manually. You can't just say like, take all of these guys and put them on performance, or take all these guys and put the maximum frequency at like 400 megahertz or whatever. It all has to be done one at a time, which is annoying, but I imagine once you have that set up, you don't really have to do it again. This one, unlike Core Control, this one, it aims to support anything and everything under the sun. Core Control seems to be a little bit more AMD focused. So, yeah, if you want something that will do all your open source driver clocking stuff, this is the project for you.
Can you adjust?
I don't know. I slid some sliders around, and I was too scared to click apply, so I didn't do it.
Why not?
I don't want to blow up my computer, man. I just
probably
just
not going to blow it up.
But no, knowing my luck, it would explode like in Die Hard 4.
It's good to have those options. Now all we need now, does it work under Wayland?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because it just hooks into the the proc shit or whatever to like set the sysctl values. There you go. I can say words.
One thing I'd really like to see with like a AMD open source stack is a unified thing to adjust color.
Yeah, like a color correction thing.
Brightness and color, yeah. You don't mess that until you need it one time, and I know you're like, but you can do that with the desktop. And I'm like, I don't want to do that on every desktop I run, man.
I don't think I want to go through the trouble of color calibrating my monitors, because that will ruin me. That would be like, oh well, now all my screens have to have like matching color calibration. Mm-hmm. Damn it. And yeah, that's just gonna ruin my life. That's you.
I do that. I've been doing that for 30 years, homie. Like, yeah, like
learn from your mistakes. Don't do it.
I you know what? I don't necessarily need it, but I like, if it looks like this on the screen, I want it to look like this on the screen. I don't want to go like, oh shit, have I been doing that wrong the entire time? What do I need to do here?
So, well, yeah, if you're doing like video production, yeah, you want to make sure you have color.
Or just dragging images around. Like, I never want that uncertainty. Plus, I want to know it's going to look like, and somebody's like, your color is wrong. I'm like, no, the hell it's not. And plus, it takes 5 minutes to do. Either way.
You do need to get one of the devices, though, yeah.
Yeah, you can get, they're like $5 used on.
All right.
Yeah, the spiders, there's an entire open source project dedicated to those things. Is one of those things that somebody buys once and goes, eh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like a thing you really need to like buy more than one time. It's like,
no.
Do the colors change?
You got to get the spider subscription. You get a new one in the mail.
Yeah, Adobe's buying them out. So, you know.
Oh, God.
Don't give them ideas.
Yeah, no, Adobe would make it somebody come to your house and do it for you, man. Oh, you got to pay for that.
Yeah, they'd knock on your door and you go like, oh, hi, Mark.
Color? Oh, hi, 3D Mark. More like it, man. Color accuracy might be very important if you're in the business of taking screenshots of your 3D benchmarks, because this is big. For me, it is. This comes from the guru of 3D. 3D Mark Steel Nomad, a non-ray tracing benchmark by UL Solutions. And when I say 3D Mark, one of the things I think about is going all the way back to 2001, because it was a huge deal back in the day, TM kids, man. I mean, that 2001 benchmark, it had the Matrix scene. And it had that field with a stream in it with water running down it. And the future of 3D was done. We were good. It didn't get better than that. It was impossible. It was a simpler time, however. But what I want to report is this new one, the latest and greatest, which is going to be the standard from 3D Mark, is coming to Linux. It's not going to be running with Proton, or you get to run it through Steam or some hacks or Lucha. No, no. You just download 3D Mark and you run it on your Linux machine like you would your Windows machine. I think that's pretty dope. And it's also going to be available for iOS, which means the new Macs and Android.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty cool. How old were you in 2001?
Fuck, I got to do math now. Yep. I was 12.
Oh, yeah, you were about a decade. Had you seen The Matrix when you were 12?
When did I see The Matrix? I didn't see it when it came out. I saw it like a year
ago. It was like 99 when it came out.
Yeah, so by 2001, I think I probably had seen The Matrix by then.
Okay. Like, that was like the thing that people showed off, was it had a recreation of the hallway scene in it. Go look it up on YouTube. It looks so dumpy, so clunky these days, but...
It was the shit back then, man.
You brought people over to take a look at it, man.
We were talking about Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within. I remember seeing that trailer and going, oh my god, this is what CGI looks like now? And then these days it's like, it looks like a reboot.
It kind of does. I remember watching that, like I said, we're talking about them pre-Super Shows, and ordering that pay-per-view to sit down and watch it with somebody. I'm like, this is this far off from indistinguishable from reality, but then again, you go back and rewatch it. You're like, oh, no, yeah, no.
Again, our standards were a lot lower back then. So, yeah.
So, this latest version of 3D Mark Steel Nomad is going to support DirectX 12 on Windows, Mac OS, and iOS. It's going to be Metal. Somebody did something with Metal, which is good. But on Linux, we're going to get support for Vulkan, which is also good. Yeah, it's going to be cross platform. You'll be able to do. You no longer have to do like Apple and wrench comparisons with like what's the 3D performance of this card versus on Windows 11 versus Linux, at least in the Vulkan field, which is the only thing that matters because DX12 is the future, brah.
It's under Linux land, it's all Vulkan anyways, right? So
all the way down.
Yeah, all fucking turtles all the way down. But yeah, no, a lot of that is, you know, you try Strange Brigade. I was looking at stats for Strange Brigade a lot. Because that's a game that uses Vulkan on Windows. And it's like, okay, well, I can expect about, give or plus minus, like 5-10% what I would get on under Windows here for the Vulkan. For DirectX, it's like, yeah, it's a crapshoot. Because like sometimes DXVK is faster, sometimes it's slower. It really depends.
Mm-hmm.
So having that level of consistency there. And I think, yeah, getting those Steam Deck benchmarks, people are going to be benchmarking their Steam Decks and all their Steam Deck mods. It's gonna be a weird time for.
It's gonna be great, and I'm gonna buy a copy of it. You get my money, like just done. Okay, thank you. This is like, if you've been hanging out with the Linux and the Penguins and like maybe since the 90s, like this wouldn't even cross your mind. This is like the impossible weird reality of like we're getting 3D Mark on Linux, like for reals. Yeah. Not that I've followed 3D Mark since 2001, but. Having that there, I think there's going to be a good knock-on benefits. You know, the wider adoption, and a lot of this has to do with things like Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. What do we got? Heroic 210.
Yeah, Heroic, they're chugging along. They have a new version out named Jewelry Bonnie. My understanding is these are all named after, like, One Piece characters, so I'm sure this makes sense in context. But the big thing with this release is they have a fancy schmancy new game scope GUI for you to configure your window sizes, your scaling, FPS limiter, all that stuff. They have a screenshot there. Looks nice. Epic logins work now.
Hey, Valve. Psst. Take note.
And again, all this shit is in Steam Overlay on the deck. They just need to like bring it over to fucking desktop land.
We're looking at the settings. It's got Wind, Other, Advanced, Cloud Saves, and Game Scope. Then we got a tick box for enable the upscaling. What type of upscaling do you want? What method? Give it the length. You know, length. Yes, yeah. The length and the width. And pick your fold and FPS limit. Like, yes, Yes.
That's what we want. That's all you want with GameCope.
GameCope, more like
GameCope,
it. GameCope,
man.
We're just going to have to GameCope over here until we get this.
I need some GameCope, man.
Dude. I just genuinely loathe the process of, hey, new game, I'm going to play this. And I launch it, and I'm like, oh, right, I'm going to need some moon glyphs. Where do you go? Proton DB. Go through like this and this. Okay, how do I plug that in? Where do okay.
You know what Proton DB could really use is just like a field that says like, here's the moon glyphs right at the top, so you don't have to like scroll down to the comments. Just like for your best experience, community has agreed on this is your command string, just plug that in.
That
and then
be
you could have like a Steam Deck plugin, like a Deki plugin to just pull those dynamically. Like
that would be good. Like, you know, I'm still grateful that the Steam DB added the system check for leaving reviews. That's so good. You're like, this game's horrible. You can't run. Like, what are you running? A Core 2 Duo, NVIDIA 450. I'm like, come on. Of course it doesn't run. Go away. You can download this. It's available for everything, man.
Yeah.
App image, too. So you don't have to worry about anything. You set it up on your deck. No problem.
Yeah. This is flat flack. There is an issue with the snap, though. So be watch out for that.
Isn't there always?
Oh, yeah. Always. And I guess our final story for the night.
What Epic. The fuck is that supposed to be on the? Is that a mouse? I guess maybe that is a thick mouse, man.
Oh, you mean on the far side there, like that angular looking thing?
No, on the right side. Like, damn it didn't scroll. The right of the keyboard here. The mouse that looks like almost a sphere.
Yes, that is a chunky mouse.
Yes,
for sure. Yeah, this is from Game is Hard. The links to all this stuff is in our show notes. You can look at those later. In the ongoing legal battle between Epic v. Google, Epic has revealed that their Epic Game Store has failed to generate profit. They say that profitability is not really their main concern. They just wanted to grow. And, grow they didn't do. It wasn't as impressive as they would have hoped. And yeah, and they're going on to say that a lot of the financial difficulties they are experiencing are due to just giving games away to people. Everyone else looking from the outside is like, duh, obviously. Because, like, yeah, if you're going to be a loss leader, you still need to be able to muscle your competition out of business. And, you know, Valve is this tiny little mom-and-pop shop, so it should have just happened by now, right? Like, Epic should have just steamrolled them, absolutely. Their plans of like trying to get people into the Epic Game Store infrastructure by giving away free games really only succeeded in making people sign up for an account to get free games, because no one is really buying them on Epic unless they're within the exclusivity period, and even then most people are just waiting for it to get to Steam, because, you know, why would I buy things on the Epic Game Store? They just got a shopping cart.
I mean, because I gave you a free game.
Yeah.
Hey, where are you going? Come back. Come back.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. I thought it was going to transfer into sales.
Install Fortnite, bro. Wait, I can't because I'm on Linux.
All right, well, here's another free game.
Huh? Sweet.
And then can you buy some? No? Uh-huh. No. I tried, man. I don't know my business model. I don't know. We're not wrong. It's the customers that are wrong. 1,180 days is how long this took to get to trial. All I'll say is, damn. The Epic Store not making a profit. And you know what? This is by design, at least according to Epic, you know, on trial. They're just burning the money to make that growth. And as we've seen, as they just admitted, hasn't materialized. And they did, you know, and their grand plan, their master design. 2023 was supposed to be the year, and giving away all these free games paid off and started breaking even, but has not materialized either. So, I mean, I'm glad that we're getting this little bit of information, these little morsels of like painfully obvious things that I think anybody could have sussed out anyway. But again, like after the Apple case, this Google case is like hella weak because sideloading. Androids is like
there's nowhere near the drama either. It's not like
Tim Sweeney's been there every day though, and he's like, I'm gonna get him, man, because that's how Tim Sweeney talks.
That's how he is.
Get you, man. You know, at this point, Epic. At this point, see, you can't. You're making us pick two villains here. It's hard to. There's no good guy to root for. you know, and you're trying to like position, well, there were marketing attempts to position Epic as a good guy. Like, ain't nobody buying that, man. Come on. Perhaps. Maybe you just bite that bullet and make your own Steam Deck at home with hookers and blow.
Yeah, I don't know. I genuinely think, like, if Epic really wants to, like, push their store forward, they got to start aggressively attempting to partner with guys like Acer and Lenovo and Ambernic that are, like, making these handhelds, because they don't have enough resources or support to make their own hardware that people would actually buy.
Go back and partner with people like Falcon Northwest, partner with Dell, partner with all the other hardware vendors that Valve dicked over with the original Steam machines, because you know what? They probably want to grind an axe against Valve. They'd be like,
spite-motivated purchases, right. Absolutely. But yeah, like adding some free games or something, or some bonus Fortnite soda to a deck competitor could be the move, right? Like you got to give something, you got to provide an actual incentive for purchasing games, not just, hey, if I go to a bagel shop and they give me a bagel, I'm going to eat it and walk away. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go buy more bagels.
At some point, here's the other problem though. At some point you're going to get tired of getting bagel.
Yeah, maybe I want a baguette, or I want some cola.
Well, think about it. It's not like the Epic has stopped giving away a free game every week. And when it first launched, I'm like, okay, I'll create an Epic account. And maybe for the first week, second week, maybe even for that first month, maybe for that second month, maybe even for that first year, I have no idea what's free on Epic, right? I don't go check it. I don't care. I'm like, I'm full of bagel, man. I'm like, whatever. And they get a lot of like bad will. I mean, me personally, we were talking about that. You just go back and listen to the pre-server shows, and kids. We cover a lot of stuff, but Epic pulling stuff off Steam. Mm-hmm. That is for nobody's benefit other than Epic. And it has fucked up games. Yeah. We were talking about, not Fall Guys, Stumble Buddies or Stumble Guys, mm-hmm. about, why is that on Steam, and why are so many people, why is it making so much money that they can partner with Hot Wheels and not? Why? Because it's on Steam. You know, you pull something off of Steam to put it to get your exclusivity. The games die. Rocket League, life support, mm-hmm. Ball Guys. I'm sure some people are still playing it, but like it's nothing like it used to be, man. Like Fall Guys was like Twitch everywhere. Same way with Rocket League.
Yeah,
I'm just being grumpy about it, man. Like pulling stuff away to like, I don't have a lot of love for Epic.
It's that artificial scarcity stuff, right? Like in an era where everything is digital and there's
it's
no, like,
doing that and trying to tell me you're doing it for my own good.
Yeah, it's for your own good, citizen. We're helping you out by letting you give us money on your iPhone without having to give Apple a cut. It's really for you.
And dragging ass on EAC support for so long.
Oh man, yeah. I don't know how much of that was like internal politics versus like just technical trying to figure it out, because like it is a bit of a cagey situation to like do anti-cheat in Wine.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, they could have been a lot more clear with messaging. They could have been a lot more public about the stuff, and like, I guess more giving, more charismatic.
Yeah, I mean, pretend anti-cheat like EAC is, I don't know, man. Like, whatever.
It works now, so at least there's that.
Yeah, we don't have to think about it too much. Did we ever get any titles that with like BattleNet working?
What? It's just Diablo that's on Steam right now?
Sure.
Think, or was it? No, it was Overwatch. Overwatch was the one they brought to Steam.
Does Overwatch use BattleNet?
Yes. Any Blizzard games use BattleNet.
Okay. Overwatch does run. Yeah, launched it. So clearly asked, man, what were you doing? But it's like I just launched it and moved around in the hangar at the beginning to see if it run. We're good.
I guess at least that works. They're not banning people yet, but soon.
Hey, if you want to tell us your favorite game to play once right at the beginning, just to see if it runs on your system, head over to linuxteamcast.com, hit the contact button, read the moon glyphs, and make sure you're not trying to be spammy or our spam columns is going to nope you. I just re-upped our yearly subscription to the service. We pay for that. And
Golem as a service.
We will be in touch. We got a couple of shows we do. Pick the right one. This is LJC Weekly. Or if you want to come on the show, you got an open source project that you're working on, closed source, your game dev, and you're like, hey, you want some of that free publicity? Publicity. Probably blah. We can help you.
Publicity be.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm all down for like helping indie game devs. I'm like, hey,
yeah,
we can put some money. Like, at least one person will at least think about buying your game after watching the show.
Plus, it's always fun to talk to the devs. They always have, like, interesting stories.
It's good. If you're in marketing and you know the devs, then you can put them on the show. That's cool. Yeah. We have no interest in talking with
them. We want the tech people. We don't want the PR people.
Yeah. Okay. What about this week?
We got some hate mail from Albright. Not necessarily Madeline Albright, although if she watches the show, are you still alive or are you a ghost? I don't know. And they're asking about the worst. Why does it matter what Linux distribution I use for gaming? The only thing I notice affecting me is the desktop. I've read a lot of articles comparing distros, but they all say they do everything, including gaming. Is there a worse distribution for gaming? I think the worst distribution for gaming is probably like a very, very, very early version of Slackware that you can get booting on a system because it's not going to have any of the drivers that you need. Honestly, like for the most part, yeah, it's going to be the desktop and all the other software that you're running, which I guess you could consider the distribution, but considering most distributions are just the desktop and the same software. Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a moot point. You can make arguments about like the default settings or specific versions of things that are being included that might make one distribution a better option than, say, another. But yeah, for the most part, like, it's going to be very minimal impact, if any, right?
Opens up to a bunch of different questions. That's why I wanted to throw it in. Outside of like, man, good on you for powering through that first sentence. Worst distribution outside of Kali.
But I'm a hacker. I need to use the hacker Linux.
That is, dude, genuinely typed in chat last night when we were doing Trackmania. Come hang out with us and play Trackmania. It's awesome. All the information's on the web zone. It was like, hey, you guys are playing on Linux. I'm like, yeah. Like, how do I install it? I'm like, use it on Steam Proton. They're like, oh, I have it on GOG or whatever. And I'm like, oh, just use Lutris or Heroic. And they're like, cool, man. I'm using Kali, by the way. And I'm like, all right, never mind. Go away. Because that is signaling, like, I don't want to give you a hard time, but you are publicly. When you say, you're like, it's said like it's some type of humble brag, but you're communicating that you know precisely fuck all and you're using Kali as a desktop.
Yeah, let's be real. Kali is a live environment. Yeah. You can install it on a system if you are like a pen tester and like that is your work laptop and that is like the only thing you use it for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, generally you want to like be able to boot it on any system because there's a lot of local cracking tools that are very useless if you just install it on your regular desktop system.
Yeah. No hate. Absolutely worst distribution. One thing I hear often is you can't play games or video games on Debian stable.
That's not true.
Dude, it doesn't stop people from typing it. You're like, hey, I'm using Debian for having this, like, you should run Arch. It play the game, or you should use, what is it, Nobra?
No? Nobara, yeah.
Yeah, and shit like that. I'm like, dude, like, Debian 12 is new enough to where you can play any of your games. You're running through everything through Proton anyway.
Yeah. Much love to Eggy, but like, yeah, I don't think I would recommend Nobara to most people. It's a fun enthusiast distro, but again, you're putting all your eggs in that one. Eggs in one basket. I didn't even think about that. Oh, he's going to hate me now. I'm just going to fucking punch me in the face. Great.
Oh, man. We've seen a couple of here, like Debian 1, Red Hat. I mean, a bunch of joke stuff, you know, like Puppy Linux. Decrypting the initial sentence correctly. Yeah, distros are all samey now.
Run something that was released in like the last year and you'll be fine.
It will be fun. And it's not just gaming. This applies to audio and production. Like, they're the need for having a customized spin for a thing those days don't really, that situation's not really there anymore. it's just kind of legacy stuff. You know, the perception of like, oh, I need to download Ubuntu Studio to do the multi. No, you do that with Fedora out of the box or Debian out of the box.
I think it's also like an artifact of like the Linux is impossible to use type thing, where it's like, oh, you're gonna have to like go into the command line, blah blah blah, to just install 8 Linuxes, and it's like, no, like. Maybe once upon a time, your choice of distro had a more significant effect on your gaming performance, but mm-hmm. these days, no.
Moral of the story is just use Gentoo.
Yeah. Oh. Build it from LFS. Build it from scratch. Be a real man.
Oh, man. Yeah. I think that's all we got for this one, man. Hey, if you like what we do... Oh, speaking of, well, I need to give a quick shout-out to our latest patron.
Oh, who? Who died?
Barco.
Barco.
Yeah. Barco's like, man, I'm going to go over to linuxgamecast.com. I'm going to smash that support button. I'm going to click the Patreon button because we got Patreon, we got LibrePay, we got PayPal, one-time donations, recurring. Now, as a patron, you get a gang of bonus features because we really do appreciate it if you can join us there, up to and including access to our super secret Discord that we're hanging out in the other 6 days of the week. We also got Amazon wish list. Jordan has one. Jill has one. Pedro has one. I got one in the studio. I don't even write your name and very hard to do chalk in the background. If you pick up something there, we got a merch store, Amazon storefront, and of course, our humble affiliate. And your name's going to be in the credits, Barco. Thank you. You were saying, Jordan, as I was saying.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I had to prune a bunch of AMD cards off of my wish list. Now I don't need them anymore. Unless I want to have second breakfast. I have second 7800 XT.
Yes. Yeah.
Crossfire works with Vulkan out of the box. You can
Crossfire's not supported anymore.
Well, multi-GPU Vulkan, whatever the fuck it's, yeah. I call it Crossfire. In my heart, it's Crossfire.
With your 1x16 and 1x8?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, but that was the thing. Crossfire can use different GPUs, too. So that was the whole...
Remember all that nonsense, man? Remember the company that was like, man, whatever happened to that? Because they disappeared. Remember the company that was like, you can use different GPUs from different vendors?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? I get up an NVIDIA and like, we can leverage compute across all these. Like, somebody bought them and disappeared their ass.
Yeah. I bet you it probably rhymes with NVIDIA.
That would have been bad. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, on that bombshell, let's call it a night and pour one out for old Pedro Mateus, who's still currently deceased with no internet access, and that does truly suck. Always got feels. Internet being out sucks. But if you want to get a hold of me, I'm at Venstone. Yeah, Venstone on Zitter. Doing that, we got a federated timeline. mass.linuxgamecast.com. I'm just at Ven there. All my social media stuff is on our web zone. And here on Twitter, of course, I'm in Discord. I'm in our IRC and all those places where your regular friendly neighborhood Venstones can be located.
Much like a bagpipe, I make the sounds of a sheep's gut being pumped full of
air. I'm not seeing a bagpipe on this wish list, Tommy.
If you give me a minute.
All right, I know Amazon sells them.
The people follow me on Twitter at the Burning Fool or at Frojo at mass.linuxgamecast.com.
And Pedro's dead. Womp womp. All right.
Yeah, Pedro died.
Yeah.
And then there's Pedro.
He's like, how about some credits?
Olito Vision. At least it's not Olestra Vision. Well, we gotta thank the people flying through space that make this possible every week. The names in the credits, the names in history, like Omega Sartharin and our executive producers, Atomic Ass, Mike G, drummer, Tomas, Hakim, David, Eship.
All of Chicago, Nick, the entire Super population. Desto,
empty.
Like Glorious Egg Roll. Sea Monsters.
New Barrowman.
Oogie, Joe, Brello. Plenty of death notes. Let's see, we got Gamatron, Pebble, Xanthrus.
Barco's there.
Pipper. And Barco!
Look at these little chairlings like Mr. Alert and Door Geek and Jonas and Michael and Ryan and Dementor and Belric.
But they joined together to perform co-chair.
Yes.
Rick Liner.
And these fuckers. The people on the wall. The writings on the wall.
Right there when they wrote on the wall.
Yeah, you know, Dancing Joe, Kai Jure, Renekta, John, Noctilus, Aldeus, all those guys. Great, great fuckers.
Did we learn anything this week?
No. My brain is empty.
I dare you to say that to the llama.
Llama, my brain is empty. Don't hurt me.
You can kind of see his fangs. Die to fire, everyone. See you next week.
Five dudes.